Hello, everybody, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms. I'm Sophia, and I will be reading for you today. Today is Tuesday, the 24th of November, which is the 8th of Kislev on the Hebrew calendar. This week's parasha is called Vayetze, and today's aliyah from the Torah is Genesis 29:18 through 30:13. Before we start the reading, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples, through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Yaakov was in love with Rachel, so he said, "Let me serve you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than I give her to another man. Stay with me." So Yaakov worked for Rachel 7 years, yet in his eyes it was like a few days, because of his love for her. Then Yaakov said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are completed, so I may go to her." So Laban gathered all the men of the place, and he prepared a feast. When it was evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and he went to her. Laban also gave her Zilpah, his female servant, to his daughter Leah as a female servant. So when it was morning, behold, there she was, Leah. So he said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I worked with you? So why have you deceived me?" But Laban said, "It's not done so in our place, to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the bridal week for this one, then we'll give you also this other, for work that you'll do for me, another 7 years more." So Yaakov did. He also completed this one's bridal week. Then he gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban also gave his daughter Rachel, his female servant Bilhah, to be a servant for her. Yaakov also went to Rachel and indeed loved Rachel more than Leah. So he served with him for yet another 7 years. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, so he opened her womb, but Rachel was unable to conceive. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and named him Reuven, because she said, "For the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." Then she became pregnant again and gave birth to a son, and said, "For the Lord heard that I am hated, so he's given me this one also." And she named him Shimon. Then she became pregnant again and gave birth to a son, and said, "Now this time my husband will join himself to me, because I've given birth to 3 sons for him." For this reason, he was named Levi. Then she became pregnant again and gave birth to a son and said, "This time I praise the Lord." For this reason, she named him Yehuda. Then she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she bore no children for Yaakov, Rachel was jealous of her sister. So she said to Yaakov, "Give me sons. If there are none, I'll die." But Yaakov became furious with Rachel and said, "Am I instead of God, the one who withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here's my maidservant Bilhah. Go to her and let her give birth on my knees, so that from her I may also build a family." Then she gave her maidservant Bilhah to him for a wife, and Yaakov went to her. Bilhah became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Yaakov. So Rachel said, "God has judged my cause and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she named him Dan. Then Rachel's female servant became pregnant again and gave birth to a second son for Yaakov. So Rachel said, "I've surely wrestled greatly with my sister. Also I've won." So she named him Naphtali. Now Leah saw that she stopped having children, so she took Zilpah, her female servant, and gave her to Yaakov as a wife. Then Zilpah, Leah's female servant, gave birth to a son for Yaakov. Leah said, "How fortunate." So she named him Gad. Then Zilpah, Leah's female servant, gave birth to a second son for Yaakov. Leah said, "How happy am I, for for daughters have called me happy." So she named him Asher. That was Genesis 29:18 through 30, verse 13. Our portion from the writings, no, sorry, our portion from the prophets is 1 Samuel chapter 4 and chapter 5. So it was that the word of Shmuel went forth to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines in battle. They camped at Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped in Aphek. The Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel, and when the battle was fought, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the people came back to the camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let's fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh, that he may come among us and deliver us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, and from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who sits above the Kruvim. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. Now when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord entered the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the ground resounded. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they wondered, "What's this noise of a great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" When they realized that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." So they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has ever happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of this mighty God? This is the God that struck down the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, O Philistines, or else you will become enslaved to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Be like men and fight." So the Philistines did fight, and Israel was defeated. They fled every man to his tent. The slaughter was very great, as 30,000 of Israel's foot soldiers fell. Moreover, the Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, died. Now that same day, a man of Benjamin ran from the battlefield and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the wayside watching, for his heart was trembling for the Ark of God. When the man arrived to announce it in the entire town cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he asked, "What's this noisy commotion?" So the man rushed and came and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were fixed in a blind state. Then the man said to Eli, "I am one coming from the battlefield. I escaped from the battlefield today." "What is happening, my son?" he asked. And the messenger answered and said, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons died, Hophni and Pinchas, and the Ark of God was captured." As soon as he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the town gate. His neck broke and he died, for he was old and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Pinchas' wife, was with child and about to deliver. When she heard the report that the Ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she crouched down and gave birth because she was seized with her labor pains. As she was dying, the women attending her said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you've brought forth a son." But she did not respond or take it to heart. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because of the capture of the Ark of God and because of her father-in-law and her husband." So she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been taken." Now the Philistines had taken the Ark of God, and they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it to the temple of Dagon and placed it beside Dagon. But when the Ashdodites arose early next morning, to everyone's surprise, Dagon had fallen to his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon up and put him back in his place. But when they arose early the following morning, surprisingly, Dagon had fallen to his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only Dagon's trunk was left on him. That is why to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who enter Dagon's house will tread on Dagon's threshold in Ashdod. Then the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the Ashdodites, ravaging them and afflicting Ashdod and its vicinity with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not stay with us, for his hand has dealt harshly against us, as well as against our god Dagon." So they sent word and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and asked, "What will we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They replied, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried over to Gath." So they carried the ark of the God of Israel over. But it came about that after they had carried it around, that the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing very great panic. And he struck the people of the city, from the youngest to the oldest, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. But it came about, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They've brought around the ark of the God of Israel to us to kill us and our people." So they sent word and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send the ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place so it won't kill us and our people." For a panic of death was throughout the entire city, as God's hand was heavy there. The people who did not die were afflicted with tumors, so that the outcry of the city went up to heaven. That was 1 Samuel chapter 4 and 5. Our portion from the writings today is Psalm 49. For the music director, a psalm of the sons of Korach. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth speaks wisdom. My heart's meditation is understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. I will utter my riddle on the harp. Why should I fear in evil days when the iniquity of my deceivers surrounds me? Or those trusting in their wealth, boasting about their great riches. No man can redeem his brother, or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of a soul is costly. So one should stop trying forever. Will he live forever and never see the pit? Surely he must see even wise men die. The fool and the brutish will alike perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their inward thought is, their houses are eternal, their dwellings for generation after generation. They name their lands after themselves, but the pompous man will not endure. He's like the beasts that perish. Such is the way of the self-confident, and their followers who approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they are destined for Sheol. Death will be their shepherd, and the upright will rule over them in the morning. Their image will decay in Sheol, far from its lofty place. But God redeems my soul from the power of Sheol, for he receives me, Sinah. Do not be afraid when a man gets rich, when his house's splendor increases. For when he dies, he takes nothing away. His splendor will not follow him down. Though during his life he congratulates himself, and men praise you when you do well for yourself, he will still join his father's company, who will never see the light, a pompous man without understanding. He is like the beasts that perish. That was Psalm 49. Our next and last portion for today is Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 56. The 12 emissaries gathered together with Yeshua, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. There were many coming and going, and they had no time even to eat. So he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to an isolated place and rest a while." So they left privately by boat to an isolated place. However, the people saw them leaving, and many recognized them. They ran on foot from all the towns to get to there ahead of them. As Yeshua came ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. When it was already late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is isolated, and the hour is already late. Send these people away so that they can go into the nearby countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Should we go and spend 200 denarii on bread to give them something to eat?" Then he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Yeshua made them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they reclined in groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he offered a bracha. He broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to serve to the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and fish. Now there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Right away, Yeshua made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After leaving them, he went up on the hillside to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples struggling to row, for the wind was against them. Around the 4th watch in the night, Yeshua comes to them, walking on the sea, and he wanted to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought he was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them. He said, "Take courage, I am, do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. They were utterly dumbfounded, for they still hadn't understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. After they had crossed over, they came to land at Kinneret and set anchor there. As they got out of the boat, immediately people recognized Yeshua. They ran about the region and began to carry around on their mats all those who were in bad shape to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he entered villages, towns, or countryside, people were placing the sick in the marketplaces and begging him to let them touch even the tzitzit of his garment. And all who touched it were being healed. That was Mark 6, verse 30 through 56, which concludes our reading of Daily Bread for today. If you're reading the double portion of Apostles this year, you would also read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you for listening, and I hope and pray that you have a blessed day. I'm Sophia, and this has been Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom, until next time.